The Gospel according to Luke, we are in the 7th chapter. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. After he entered the Pharisee's home, Jesus took his place at the table. Meanwhile, a woman from the city, a sinner, discovered that Jesus was dining at the Pharisee's house. She brought perfumed oil in a vase made of alabaster. Standing behind him at his feet and crying, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured the oil on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw what was happening, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. He would know that she is a sinner." Jesus replied, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher, speak," the Pharisee said. "A certain lender had two debtors. One owed enough money to pay 500 people for a day's work. The other owed enough money for 50. When they couldn't pay, the lender forgave the debts of them both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the largest debt canceled." Jesus said, "You have judged correctly." Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your home, you didn't give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has poured perfume oil on my feet. This is why I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven, so she has shown great love. The one who is forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other table guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this person that even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterward, Jesus traveled through the cities and villages, preaching and proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom. The 12 were with him, along with some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had been thrown out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's servant Chuza, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I suppose the place to start is with that awkward word, troublemaker. Because that doesn't, it's in my limited experience anyway, but that word troublemaker doesn't always line up real well with the word Lutheran. Because, you know, we want to be good. We want to be good citizens. We want to be good family people. We want to be nice. We want to be good. We want to be known as good. We want to be appreciated as good. We want to be respected as good. And we want to be seen as respectable people. And troublemaker sounds like the kid who sits in the back of the class making paper airplanes and constantly disrupting everything else. Troublemaker sounds like people who run around breaking laws and living their own lives and not really caring about how other people live. Troublemaker causes us to cringe. And now here I am inviting us, because Jesus invites us, to be troublemakers. In the Gospel of Luke, we encounter a whole bunch of people who continuously are pointing us back to Christ, and they keep doing things that are otherwise socially unacceptable. They are obnoxious, because the social norm says that they should not be functioning in this particular way, and yet these different characters that come along, and we'll meet a couple of them through these next couple of weeks, these folks come along, and the thing that they do keeps showing us the light of Christ. They keep leading us back to what God can do and what God has already done in this world. So Jesus is inviting us, like the woman that we have here today, to cause a little trouble, to stir up the water a little bit, maybe create some waves or at least a couple little delicate ripples in our good Lutheran sense. But just to keep pointing people back to what God is doing in God's mercy and God's justice and God's love that continues to be poured into this world. And sometimes we simply need to point other people to this light. We have troublemakers all throughout the Bible. We have troublemakers all throughout our history. We have troublemakers in our lives, in our families. We have troublemakers in this church. One of the troublemakers that you will find on that cross, her name is Ida B. Wells. She is a holy troublemaker. She was born a slave in 1862. For those of us who can remember our American history, you know that 1865 is when the Civil War ended and when our African American people who were brought into this country, they were set free. But we also know our history well enough that we know that just because someone was granted freedom on a piece of paper doesn't mean that they were actually allowed to live freely. Ida B. Wells went to college. She went to college to become a teacher. And then she moved to Memphis, where she taught in the public school system up there. But Ida B. Wells also discovered that she had a voice. And she had an ability to put pen to paper and to bring about her voice through her writing and through that ability. And along the way, as she was teaching and encountering all the segregation and the injustices that happened to African Americans post-Civil War, and we could argue some of that continues to happen even today, she started to write. And she started to write, oddly enough, for a newspaper that was published by a church in Memphis. So just, I want to hit pause just for a moment. We call the tidings here at Trinity Lutheran a newsletter. And it's got announcements and things that are going on in the church and fun things that we can get involved with or might move our faith in new and different ways. And, you know, there's a couple little reflection pieces, things like that. She's writing in a church newsletter, if you will, about the injustices that are happening in her school district that she is a part of. The segregation, the violence, the racial profiling, all of that, and maybe we continue to see today. She's writing that in her church newsletter. Under a pen name, by the way, she's trying to protect herself in some small way because, of course, she's also a teacher. But over time, because she's such a good writer, these articles, these reflections that were in this local newspaper, they start to get out and they start to get into other newspapers, and she begins to develop a name for herself, and then they find out who she is. And as we would expect, because she's been turning people back towards Christ, she's been shining the light of Christ on this injustice in the system that she works, she's fired as a teacher. So then Ida B. Wells doubles down, and she becomes an investigative journalist. And then she buys and owns her own paper so that people can't silence her. And then she keeps going even further, and now she starts writing about the violence and the hateful acts that are happening against her brothers and sisters in Memphis and all across the South, specifically acts of violence called lynchings. And she wouldn't just write about the event itself, but she would also start outing people, like the mayor of a particular town who might be the head of the Ku Klux Klan, or some sheriff or some person who had great power and authority who was in charge of that particular mob who lynched that particular family. She began putting this in the paper. She made it public record, which of course we could assume is not received well. Her life is threatened. Her home is shot at multiple times. She's forced to go into hiding. She's forced to run for her life to protect her own children. And she keeps going. And she keeps writing. And then she writes a book. And then she goes on a speaking tour in Britain because she's not allowed to speak in the U.S. And then when she comes back from this speaking tour and her book has become popular and people come to know more about it, in America, she starts to become disparaged by the other newspapers because she's an instigator. She's causing trouble, pointing out what God's kingdom has to offer in this world and to remind us of God's mercy and God's justice. Now, I know, as I offer this to our Lutheran church here on a Sunday morning, this may not feel like something that we are called to do. And yet she reminds us of what we can do through the forgiveness that God gives us. Because the woman that we have in our gospel for today, though she's not Ida B. Wells, and it may not be the exact same storyline, the woman that we have in our gospel for today is stirring up waters. Because she shows up unannounced. All we know about her is that she's a woman and that she's a sinner. Or we could argue she's a former sinner because Jesus forgives her. We could even argue that Jesus forgave her before she even came in through the door because she's coming in responding to this grace that's been poured upon her life. And Jesus sees her fully as a child of God. Everybody else in that room sees her as a woman and as a sinner. She walked into the building with two strikes against her. And Jesus sees her as a child of God. And as she walks in, and by the way, she didn't knock on the door to see if the Pharisee would let her in. She didn't wait to get permission from anybody who had authority or power. She just shows up. She had this planned out because she went to the drugstore and bought the ointment. She knew when Jesus was going to be there, and she just shows up. Almost terrifying for some of us to imagine just showing up unannounced, to not asking permission, but knowing that we are forgiven, to proclaim God's grace in the presence of an entire room. She shows up, and as she was anointed by God's grace, she anoints the feet of Jesus and shows everybody in that room that Jesus is the Son of God. She breaks every social norm. She messes with every system. The Pharisee who owns the house is rather bothered by this, and he kind of writes it off in a theological argument, saying, well, if he was a prophet, he would know who she was and that she is not worthy to touch his feet. But Jesus sees her first as a child of God, and she is pointing us back to Christ, who sees us first and foremost as children of God, forgiven and loved, because God's grace does not ask permission. It continues to break into our world and claim us and reorient us and show us what God can do in our lives. And if we keep going in this gospel, the story of the woman is remarkable enough. Beyond that, after Jesus declares her forgiven, then the people around the table are starting to mumble to each other, wondering, who is this guy? Thinking he can just forgive people willy-nilly. We have a system in place. There's ways of going about forgiveness. He's not God. He cannot, with a single word, bring about light into this world. He is not God. He cannot proclaim forgiveness where it is unwarranted. Jesus takes the role of the troublemaker. You and I, when we walk into a space, our motivation may be to be quiet. I'm a raging introvert. I love to be quiet in spaces. I love to listen. But I also like to just kind of stay to myself. You know, we got back from vacation. It's a week of rest. And what did I do? I go to the basement to be by myself. That's the kind of introvert I am. We like our space. We like our quiet. We like to be by ourselves, and we don't want to mess up the system. Because the system has served us well. The system for some of us has allowed us to have a home to rent or to own. The system has allowed us to have a way to have a job to support ourselves and our family. The system works. You and I have our motivations and we have our reasons for keeping the system, whatever you want to define that. Whatever cultural norm, whatever social expectation, we want to keep those in place because they benefit us and our families, and it is good. And at the same time, Jesus keeps stirring up the waters. Jesus keeps breaking into our lives unannounced and continues to show us that we are granted love and grace and forgiveness, and we have incredible power. Power to proclaim what God is doing in this world. Power to proclaim God's justice when we encounter injustice. God's power to proclaim forgiveness when all others are seeking injustice or are seeking judgment or are seeking willingness to keep our neighbors at bay. We are given power, God's power, to break into rooms and to bring our praise to Christ, to point the light of Christ into our world and to show our neighbors that God is at work. We hear these stories, we read the names on this cross that we have, and maybe we don't feel like we're going to be quite to that level. But when we break into our families, when we break into our homes, when we're moving in this space, God gives us voice. A voice to proclaim justice, a voice to proclaim mercy, a voice to proclaim compassion and grace. All that has been washed on us through these waters, all that is fed to us through this table, we have voice. We have power. And we have God's kingdom breaking into this world, revealing light and mercy and hope for our neighbors. How can we be a troublemaker? In some sense, you already are, because Christ has claimed us and loves us and grants us forgiveness. Jesus has set us free so that we can be God's people in this world unhindered by the expectations and the barriers that are placed on us, so that we can proclaim God's grace and that God's kingdom is already here. Amen.